And I've been true to my word lately. Lori gives me those sideways looks when I say that. And she said, you're such a stinking liar. But I've been true to my word. Y'all turn in your Bibles, if you will, to the Gospel of John chapter 12. John 12. We'll dig in this Wednesday night. We're using this as a launching pad to go to Ezekiel 47 is where I'm going to wind up and where we're going to spend time in it. So, and Lori and I have not talked about this at all, but it is so awesome to me when you begin to talk about the stream and how it went into the mountain and it began to come out, and it did not come out as this huge river, because in Ezekiel 47, it's the vision of the river that flows out of the sanctuary. And when it comes out, it's small. It's not large. It comes out, it's ankle deep. But every time that it goes 1,000 measurements, the river increases in size. It increases in depth. It increases in magnitude. And it gets to a point to where Ezekiel can't even cross the river. He said, man, this thing is so large, I can't even cross this thing. And everything that it touches and everywhere it flows, life springs forth. And that's where we're going to wind up on this. I want to just hit a couple things that the Lord spoke to me and kind of use this as building a platform. And it's kind of like we're building a deck tonight, this morning we're just putting the deck up, and then we'll build on that Wednesday night. I want to look in John chapter 12. This is one of the, if I could pick 10 places in the Bible that I would like to be, this is one of my 10, as far as when it happened. And obviously, everybody would like to be there at Pentecost. You know, a lot of people would put there on the Mount of Transfiguration. A lot of people would put there, you know, whatever you feel in the miracles, Mount Carmel with Elijah or wherever. And we've all got our things that, you know, David and Goliath or wherever we would like. If I could have been somewhere, that's where I wanted to be. And this is one of my top 10. And you know, really, because that's kind of a, you know, it's not flashy. But to me, on the grand scale of this, this is what the life and the ministry of Jesus is all about. And because this story is so relational. And, you know, it's okay, and we want to end well, and we want everyone to end well. I want people to gain heaven. But I don't want people to miss life. Do you hear what I'm saying? The other day, I had to really check myself. We were we'd just gotten back from South Dakota. Me and Lori got in about 1 a.m. this morning, and the guys are still traveling and everything. But, you know, it's in the Black Hills. It's beautiful up there, just a different kind of beauty. And I really had to check myself the other evening. The evening is always my favorite time, no matter if I'm on the farm or at the beach or wherever. I absolutely love the evening, and I love the lights in the evening, the pastels and the clouds and all of that stuff when the evening time comes. And typically we would finish working around 7:30, somewhere in that ballpark. And we were going home the other evening, and we have about a 35-minute drive up into the mountains where we stay. And I found myself being totally, totally stupid. Scott drove that evening, and I was sitting over in the passenger seat. And I was sitting there, and you know what I was doing? I had my cell phone in front of me. And I was looking at ESPN, seeing how the Olympics went that day. And Eric, I checked myself, and I'm like, I'm such an idiot. I am driving up through just one of the most beautiful places in our country, in the passenger seat, no responsibility of driving. It's the best, in my mind, the best time of day. And I'm sitting here on my iPhone seeing if Michael Phelps won a third Olympic gold medal. And I'm literally, I said it out loud to the guys. I said, I'm an idiot. I said, I need to put this thing down and look around me and see what's happening and absorb the beauty of what's around me. That very morning, going through the same place, I saw 6 bighorn sheep 50 yards off the road. But yet this evening, I find myself looking at my iPhone because I'm more concerned about what ESPN says than the world around me, than what's happening, than this opportunity that I have. Because I won't get that opportunity again until 2017. Or maybe never. Who knows? And God began to speak to me, and God began to say, that's the way you do life. Is we've got all this amazing stuff around us. We've got all these amazing encounters around us, all these amazing people around us, all of these amazing things that happen in our lives, and we miss it because we're trying to find out if Michael Phelps won a third Olympic gold medal or not. Anybody in here guilty besides me? We do that. We get so caught up in stuff, we fail to see what's happening. Did y'all feel what happened a while ago? Did y'all feel that? I mean, if you didn't, you need to check your pulse. I mean, just all the songs as they just began to build, and then as we, you know, crescendo. Because I really, before we did it as well, after we prayed for Mike, I was like, all right, man, that's it. That's all right. Let's go. And God checked me, and He said, today's more about refreshing in His presence than it is you getting your word in. And I'm like, all right, Lord. And then when we sang it as well, I mean, I just felt a refreshing just coming over people as they declared in my soul, even though there's a mountain that's in front of me, it's well. Even though there's this going on and this going on, and you're entering into a crazy, crazy time of year for you, and it won't stop till after wrestling season. You know, you guys are scrambling for, you know, I'm about to hit you up with some more stuff after church. I need to see you after church, okay? But with all of that going on, there's this settled place in my life. It is well. It is so well. It is such a place of peace and such a place of hope and such a place of rest and such a place of trust. And that's what God wants us to see and recognize and feel and embrace. That's what I want you, Micah, as you go and you're over there for the next 2 weeks, 10 days, however long you're going for. You month? You're going to be gone a month? I didn't realize it was going to be a month. Well, awesome, brother. This is, yay. That's cool. But that you're over there that next this whole month is that you go through this thing with just your eyes wide open to everything that God is doing and saying and moving, and you recognize and pick up on every little thing. I want your senses. The woman that I was talking about earlier and her husband, as he was telling me about it, he said she has lost her sense of smell and she has lost her sense of taste. And I'm sitting here saying, ooh, I might could deal with smell. That wouldn't be good, but I might could deal with it, but I couldn't lose it. And I pray that your senses are heightened. Your spiritual senses are heightened. So that every little nuance, every little movement, every little shift, you know, animals, man, they can tell the barometric pressure and everything that's going on. And they respond accordingly to that. And God wants us to get that sensitive to everything. And so that's my prayer and declaration over you, Mike. And that's our, as a church, man, that's what we just speak over you. But I want us to look in chapter 12 at just a couple verses. And then we're going to launch into Ezekiel 47 on Wednesday night. Then Jesus, y'all are familiar with this scripture. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard. That one of the translations says that equated into a 12-ounce jar. Imagine a 12-ounce jar of ointment perfume. Very, very expensive. It was the denarius in the Greek and all, it was 300 days' wages. That's what she was pulling out, guys. 300 days' wages. And that's what she was about to anoint and adorn him with, Joseph. And so she took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. And then we see, and there's some, man, I just recently heard some tremendous teaching on this about extravagant worship brings out nasty stuff out of people. It causes demonic stuff to stop being hidden. It forces it to surface. When we come in a place of extravagant worship, of extravagant lifestyle for Him, it forces these things that have been hidden in our lives, these things that have been hidden maybe in our midst, it forces these things to come out and expose themselves. So, man, you look at that and you think about that. Because Judas had been with him for 3.5 years. Amen? This was when it exposed him. Because immediately after that, it says that Satan put it in his heart. This thing became exposed and it launched forth. And he went and he sold Jesus out and he betrayed him. And he said, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? The 300 pence is 300 days' wages. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. Let's let that hang on us for a second. We always have Christian activity that we can do. There will always be church activity to do, guys. There's always something that can be done, a good thing that can be done, something that maybe is important that can be done. But I want to tell you something. We need to choose the best often. And the best is these moments in time. These best might be the 30-minute ride home in amazing scenery. This best might be a guy coming in and just bearing his heart, big old guy from Canada and just breaking down in your tent and just, pouring his heart out and all of that stuff. I'm going to try to figure out who that is and I'm going to call him. I think he was Thursday. So if I have to make 6 calls to Canadians that bought stuff from us on Thursday, I'm going to try to connect with this guy. I'm going to try to make up for my... took third strikes. Can I have a fourth one? I'm going to do my best on that. But anyway, those moments are things that we need to test thinking about. Jesus, is he always had ministry in front of him, but he always stopped for the one. He always said, if I need to hang out at a well, that's not good time management, then I'm going to hang out at a well in Samaria. I need to keep traveling. I need to keep doing my thing and all of this stuff. But Jesus is so keenly aware of the opportunities. He was so keenly aware of heavenly invitations that y'all hear me preaching on all the time. He was so keenly aware of the connections that were around him, the relationships that were around him. Here's the thing about this. Let me read these verses, these next 3 verses, then I'm going to jump right back into it. Much people of the Jews, verse 9, therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. I want us to just take a second here and think about and ask ourselves the question, how do I do life? Not how do I end life? I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I believe in Jesus. I put my trust in Him. I've received His the blood atonement and all of that stuff. But how do we do life? How do we do what's around us? How do we connect with what's around us? I absolutely love this story right here because it's in the scripture it says that they came in and it said they made Jesus a supper. This wasn't about, man, I need this and this and this. Earlier it was because Lazarus was dead. So they went and they called on Jesus and they sent for Jesus and Jesus delayed his coming and it kind of got them, miffed a little bit at him. They're like, what's up with this? If you'd been here earlier, he wouldn't have died and you could have healed him. We love you, but man, I'm ticked off at you. Anybody ever been like that with God? God, I love you and I thank you that you saved me, but this didn't go how I thought it was going to go and I'm not real happy about it. But they come in and we all get there, guys. We all get there. And then he comes in on this, though, and they made him a supper. They made him a supper. You say, well, worship ain't my thing, brother. Worship's his thing. See, here, think about what you just said, and I have people tell me this all the time. Worship's not really my thing. This ain't about you, Jack. See, you're missing the point. This worship isn't about you getting worship. This worship's about Him. I've had people tell me that worship music's just not challenging enough for me as a musician and all of that stuff. Dude, this ain't about you. It's about Him. He loves it. He loves what it generates. He loves the presence. He's got angelic beings that were created beings that are surrounding Him, and all they do is 24/7 worship. Worship. Because it releases a presence. It releases a heart. It releases something, and there's something in the believer. There's a song in the believer that nothing else can release. They call it a new song in Revelation. There's a song within you that no one else can release. I've got 5 different grandchildren, and every one of them can come and respond to me in a different way, saying the same thing, but respond to me in a different way. Zealand's love languages. If he ain't seen me in a week, first thing he does, when he sees me, he comes running up and he hits me. That's his love language. And I'm like, I like it. That's his love language. See, and Hannah's all affectionate and all of this stuff. And Caroline's just Caroline. See, every one of them's got different. It's different. But every one of them will just like, whoo, melt you. And they did a supper for Jesus, just for Jesus. They celebrated the fact that we're in relationship with this guy. I want you to think about this, guys. This Jesus has been doing this for 3.5 years with His earthly ministry. This is the last time that this ever takes place. Because the next day He goes into Jerusalem and starts the whole process of crucifixion. He has the last supper with His disciples in the upper room, but that's 12 guys sitting in there with Him. And that's more of a ministry-minded thing. This is more of a relational thing. And this is the last time that this happens. And we go through life thinking like, man, everything's going to be forever. And this might be my last opportunity. This might be, and you say, man, you trying to scare me saying I'm going to die next week and all of that stuff. I'm just saying life is constantly changing. You'll never be at this point again. You're going to blink an eye and you're going to turn around and you're going to be a grandmama. Yes, ma'am, Sharon, it'll happen before you know it. I'll blink an eye and I'll turn around and I'll be a great-grandfather instead of just a grandfather. Maybe it's because I'm on the other side of 50 and I'm more reflective now. My brother had his 40th high school reunion last night and I was like, dude, you're old. Lori's like, you ain't but 3 years behind him, cat. I can't hardly wrap my head around that. I mean, no offense, guys, you know this. But I'm like, you've been out of high school 40 years. And I'm like, hello, 36 for me. You see how life, Solomon said it's a vapor. And these guys are sitting here, and the way we do life, they're sitting here, and they are saying, you know what? We've got this opportunity to have a great evening with Jesus, and let's have this thing. The reason this is in my top 10, I would like to just sit at the... I love to talk to interesting people and fascinating people. I love to. They don't have to be successful or famous or anything like that. I like to hear people's stories. I would love just to sit at that table because I wonder who all was there besides Jesus and Lazarus. I know it was, and I know the disciples were there, but I even want to get past the disciples. I want to sit and see who's there. But it's people that were relationally connected to Jesus and Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And they're sitting here and they're having this amazing time and this meal with Jesus. And they're soaking it up and they're not missing the moment. They're not looking at their iPhone in life and saying, I wonder if Michael Phelps won, which, by the way, I think he's phenomenal. But anyway, they're not sitting here looking at this and saying, the next day Jesus is done. Everything transitions the next day. It'll never be like it was the last 3.5 years. And they seize the moment. They seize the moment. They seized the moment. And I want us to do life well. I want us to do life well and recognize moments. Recognize moments in worship. Recognize moments when God gives me a word for somebody and it's spot on, and that person responds and we're like, yes, I heard you, Lord. And He said, yes, I spoke to you. And we don't miss those things. And we don't miss all of this opportunity that's right here. Let's look at this for a second. They made Him a supper. This is Martha served. Lazarus, the one that sat at the table with Him. I love verse 3. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and she anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped His feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. A little note I wrote in there this morning, John 12 is all about relationship and how we do life. In verse 3, a towel would have been more effective. But Mary's hair was much more personal. Y'all ever tried to wipe up a spill with hair? Doesn't absorb anything, does it? Doesn't absorb anything. That was probably one of the least effective things that she could have used to rub this ointment in. And I mean, a towel, that would have been deep, penetrate, and saturate. And all that. Any of y'all ever been and got an oil massage or anything like that? They don't get their hair and put their hair down on you and rub on it and all of that stuff, do they? They get the warm towels and stuff like that, the heated stuff, and that makes it penetrate and everything. But you know what? That was an instrument, and this is personal. And she comes in, and she made this thing so personal with this. You know what it would be impossible for her to do? To take the towel and put it over in the corner and make that towel an icon and say, that's the towel I wipe Jesus' feet with. And every time she walks in, she finally looks at that towel and says, but that's the way we do church, and that's the way we do church life. And if we're not careful, that's the way we'll do life. It's a series of things that we use. And those things that we use, they become iconic to us. And we put it over there. And whenever we need it, it's like our computer that's got all these little icons. And whenever I need to go to this, what do? Put the mouse on it and I click it and there it comes. And that's the way that we do stuff in our life. And God says, quit compartmentalizing all of this and putting it on your computer board when you need it and make it personal. She came in, and I know y'all have heard this 1,000 times, but she came in. It says the whole house was filled with the odor. When she walked down the street the next day, you know what smelled just like that? She did. Because it was personal. It's personal. You know why it was significant to Jesus? Because it was personal. He said, she has purposely kept this for my burial. And He says, this is something that this huge connection between me and her. And that's how God puts all of these amazing people in our lives. And God lets us experience all of these amazing things in our lives. And sometimes it's just us and God and nature and all of that, and that's awesome. But sometimes it's relationally. Errol came over this morning for breakfast because she was home and all that stuff, and she said, you know, we got a good church. I know we got jacked up stuff in our church, some, you know, with different flaws and all that. She said, we got a good church. She said, I bet I had 10 different guys in the church. She said, I bet I had 10 different guys in the church call me or text me this week and say, man, if you need me to cut your grass, if you need me to do anything, because Rhett was been out of town for 8 days. Whatever you need me to do, I'll come do it. You just let me know. And she said, you know what? That means a lot to me. So whoever the 8 or 10 different guys, I appreciate that, you guys. I appreciate that. That's awesome. That's my daughter, but that's the daughter of the house too. But you know what that is? That's a community of believers that are connected. It's a community of believers that are connected. It's people that are doing life together. Everything was about to change in this. Y'all not noticed how the seasons of life change? Everything's about to change in this, and they don't ever get a do-over on this again. What if they had not because it was inconvenient? Is it ever a convenient time? It's never. It is never convenient. But look at how rich this is. Look at how rich this is. And it said, out of this, all of these people, they believed not only because of Jesus, but they believed because of Lazarus. And then the testimony of Mary that went out, of extravagant worship and extravagant relationship. When she's standing at the foot of the cross and Jesus is cut. Think about, listen to this now. I won't throw this up at you. Think about everything that Jesus went through. And I understand, you know, they say, well, he was anointed with this ointment, this spikenard that Mary put on him. And when he was hanging on the cross, that smell was still there and he could still smell that smell and all of that stuff. And I agree with that. But you know what that was mingled with? It was mingled with blood. It was mingled with spit. It was mingled with dirt. It was mingled with grime. It was mingled with all of these things. But if I'm sitting here and I'm Jesus and I'm on a cross and all of this range of emotion is flooding me and I'm going through what Jesus is going through, and every once in a while I can catch maybe a glimpse of that fragrance, maybe a brief smell of that fragrance, that, because blood and all that has a distinct smell too, especially in a hot Judean sunshine. You think about that. You ever field dress a deer or something like that? There's a smell that's just from the blood. I'm not talking about the gut. I'm talking about the blood. So you've got all of this smell of this going on. But then all of a sudden something strong comes up through his nostrils. And you know what it is? It's not the smell that's off of his head or his feet. It's the smell that's coming off of her hair as she stands at the foot of the cross. Tell me that's not refreshing to a God. Tell me that's not refreshing to a King. Tell me that's not refreshing to a Savior. Tell me that's not refreshing to one that is hanging on the cross and bearing the sins of the world. And all of this is going on, and the dirt and the blood and the spit and the hatred and the vinegar and all the stuff that they tried to give him, the gall and all of this, and put all of this on him. And all of a sudden the wind shifts directions. Father God moves the wind and a smell comes up. And it's a smell coming off of Mary's hair. And it reminds him of what he's doing it for. It reminds him of relationship. It reminds him of connection. It reminds him of a meal in somebody's house, sitting with a man named Lazarus and a woman that's serving named Martha, and a household of people that he loves and he's in relationship with. And it refreshes him. It strengthens him. Think about that. That's what our personal connection with God does. For him. For him. For him. You think everything flows from there, but you know what? It ascends as well. It ascends as well. It ascends as well. And that's what I want us to connect with this morning. And we're going to associate, and we're going to tie in a river with this Wednesday night, and the river and how it starts small and it gets big and the tributaries are connected and added to it and all that. And it all ties together beautifully. And it becomes big and it becomes powerful. But you know what it starts with? It starts with a personal connection to Him, a personal connection to what's going on around us, a personal connection to each other in doing life. And there are times when it's refreshing for us. There's times when it's refreshing for others. And there's times when it's refreshing for Him. The Word says God inhabits the praises. You know why He inhabits the praises? Because it is such a sweet savor to Him. That's why He dwells there. That's why He inhabits it. Plane that we flew in from Denver last night, about the last 30 minutes of the flight, it started smelling like vomit. Yeah, it was nasty. Me and Lori were sitting there saying, oh my gosh, this is rough. As soon as they got the doors open on that plane, we couldn't wait to get off the plane because it was not a sweet fragrance. What is our fragrance before the Lord? Is it bitterness, anger, resentment? Does that attract presence? Does that refresh Him Think about that with Jesus on. It's the first time I've ever thought about it was in preparation for this, and really just now, was the smell that's coming off of her, and it's drifting to him, by him. Think about that. What are we releasing into each other's lives? What are we releasing into the moment? Is it just a pat, lame, vanilla, I'll be praying for you, man. That sounds awful. I'll be praying for you. Pat him on the arm, so, and he's like, yeah, man, I just... Or is it a different fragrance from that? I serve a God who can fix this. I serve a God that loves you and cares about you. What is our connection to what's happening around us? What is it, guys? What will it be this week? What will it be next month? And sometimes it doesn't have to be huge. On that same flight home last night, at some point, she didn't. It wasn't like a deep, heavy thing and all that stuff. But she, Lori, patted me on the arm and laid her head on my shoulder. I felt like I'd won the lottery, Nick. I didn't say anything to her. But within my soul, I could sit here and I sing, "It is well." I'm serious. That's that thing with all of us. The way we connect in life. The way we do life with each other. The way we do life with family. The way we do life with strangers. How powerful would it have been if I could have just broke down with this guy in the tent. And he goes home and his wife's completely healed. Not because of me, but because of the power of the living God. You're talking about a life turn completely. But I didn't even give it an opportunity. Just to... be praying for you, man. Come on. That's about as lame as you can get. Because I was in another mode, and there another mindset. We're getting this done. I want you to win, and I want you to do X's and O's well, but I'm more concerned about the lives of these young men that you're impacting. I want Micah to be changed by this trip, but I'd much rather 50 people at first be changed by this trip that are over there, or 500 people, and then the residual of that is Micah's changed. So how do we do life? How are you going to do it this week? Are you going to spend it? Get my cell phone. Are we going to spend it like this? Are we going to spend it like this? Which is it going to be? Because way too often, it's this. And God wants it to be John 12. Let's stand to our feet. I always wrestle with what to do at the end. We're just going to hit pause and pick up on this Wednesday night. So y'all be ready for Ezekiel 47. This morning I feel like it was a refreshing for so many of you. And me, Lord knows I needed it. But this week, will you be a refreshing to Him? Will you be a refreshing to this person or the stranger you're yet to meet? That's the thing. Is who are we bringing heaven into them to encounter with? Who are we doing that with? You know, in high school now, there's however many kids at Bremen run around up there. Let them see something different about Noah. Let me see something besides this fat man. He's a nice guy and all of that stuff. This, let me something totally different. This carries it over a little bit more. Worship team, y'all come up. I want us to... I'm not trying to replicate anything. I'm not looking for any type of an altar response this morning. But you know what I am looking for? Hair instead of a towel. I think the appropriate response this morning is hair instead of a towel. Because our church thing, y'all know what I'm saying in that? Our church thing, we'll pull out the towel because it's the most efficient, the most effective. It's what we think this will work best and all that stuff. And God's like, more than anything, I don't care how efficient you are, I want you. I want you. And I think our response right now, here's what I want us to do, shockingly. Let's sing it as well. As you declare that to Him this morning, you are not singing a song that Kristen DeMarco sings that's powerful and bad and all of that stuff. You know what you're doing? You're taking your hair, symbolically for us, brother, but you're taking your hair and you're saying a towel won't do in this situation. And you're coming in and you are anointing the feet of Jesus and you're saying, it is well with me. At your feet is enough. At the table with you is enough. Sitting in your presence is enough. In relationship with you is enough. I'm not worried about Roman rule right now. That's what Martha's saying and Mary's saying. Mary especially right here. I'm not worried about Roman rule right now. I'm not worried about what the unbeknownst to me what I was going to happen in the next week. The next 40 days. But all I know is right now, you're in my house. And I look over here and I see my brother that was dead, but he's alive today. I see a bunch of ragtag apostles that you called out of different professions. And they've been miracle workers for 3.5 years. And they're sitting here right now. And by her wiping his feet, she's saying, it is well with me. The future may be jacked up, but right now it's well with my soul. No matter what it holds, it's well with my soul. So this morning, I think our fitting response is declaring that to Him. With our heart, our voices, but with our heart, with our hair. That's the response. With our hair today, not a towel. Not a this is the way we do church. This is the way I do life, and it's well with me. So let's do this. Let's worship Him.